Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to begin with to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Pua. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then Exodus chapter 2, picking up at verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Lord, we thank you once again for the power, the grace, the anointing, the light, the encouragement that is found in and upon your word. Thank you for the blessings and the rewards that are ours when we're wise enough to take time with you one-on-one to read and meditate on your word and thus listen to you as you speak words of life and blessing to our lives. Help us more and more to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. And more, help us, guide us, and equip us to be well-equipped kingdom warriors to share the gospel with the world and to boldly stand for life. Help us to know, Lord, that in spite of the fact that we live in a world where so many people think it's okay to murder precious babies, you've clearly told us in your word, you shall not murder. Help us to know, Lord, that we're on the winning side. We're on your side. We work and are a part of your kingdom. Help us to go forward fully expecting to be victorious and wise and very influential in the way we go forth to accomplish your work and your will in the world. Thank you for the opportunity to be vessels through which you can accomplish your will. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak to us today. Father, I ask that you'd show us and that we'd understand how much you love us. You've already done the biggest thing you could ever do by sending your only son to die on the cross. And Father, you love us so much. And Father, I think that sometimes we look at that and it doesn't really hit. So Father, I ask that you would make it a deeper understanding to see how personally and how intentionally you love us. And Father, I ask that we'd see more and more how you're the provider, how you give us everything we need to succeed and everything we need to thrive. And Father, that you give us everything we need to walk in your steps in bringing life. Thank you, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, we're going to share an article to help introduce our topic for today. And before we introduce our guest, I want to share it. Keep in mind, if you'd like to get a copy, and we would encourage you to email us to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The title of the article is Courageous Servants, Cowards and the Church. Again, that title, Courageous Servants, Cowards and the Church. In short, a very interesting and powerful story found in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. Here we see two young women with a dilemma who turn it into an opportunity to glorify God and his creation. Exodus 1, 15 to 21. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Exodus 1, 15 to 21. Picture them, Shiphrah and Puah, two ordinary women who had the job of being midwives. Their job was helping pregnant mothers during the delivery and birthing of their babies. Then one eventful day, Pharaoh gives them a strong, very clear order. He directs them to deliberately kill all the Hebrew baby boys when they are born. It does not seem that he gave them any reasons why they were to do it. He simply commanded them to do this. The Word of God tells us very clearly, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too, Exodus 1:17. Well, in time, the Pharaoh realizes that the baby boys were not dying. So he calls the two midwives and confronts them, asking why they were allowing the baby boys to live. Shiphrah and Puah gave this response. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time, Exodus 1:19. Well, what did Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and the business of delivering babies. So God in his sovereignty gave Shiphrah and Puah grace and wisdom enough to outsmart the great Pharaoh. So he ended up having to change his whole strategy in getting rid of the Hebrew baby boys by declaring them to be cast into the Nile River. Exodus 1:22. These two courageous women stand as outstanding role models of bravery for people who follow the Lord for all time, even in a time of crisis. They courageously stood against the orders of the man who, by the world's thinking, may have been considered the most powerful man in the world at that time. The great king of Egypt, Pharaoh, gave an order, and they deliberately disobeyed that order. Why? Because the midwives feared God, Exodus 1:17. They stood up for what was right without knowing what the outcome would be. That's courage. They chose to honor God more than a human ruler. They put the will of God before the will of men. That is boldly standing for God, his will, and his word. Shiphrah and Puah, here in this story, teach by example how to stand up for what's right. They're showing us boldly that it's right to stand up for right and to stand against wrong. They feared God and knew in their hearts that killing innocent babies was wrong. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments as of yet. Moses around this time was just a baby that is born early in the book of Exodus. Pastors, ministers, and believers in the body of Christ today can learn some very powerful lessons from Shipra and Pua, we in the church today stand as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and we're guided and we are guided and counseled by God's word. Joshua 1, 6, and 7 tells us, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Joshua 1, 6, and 7. Today, governments and governmental leaders, sadly, have told us that it's all right to kill babies in the womb. The government tragically protects and promotes abortion. They tell us that it's a woman's right to choose and that women have reproductive rights. God is looking for Shipras and Puas today. He's looking for people who fear God. He's looking for believers who obey his word. He's looking for believers who know what his word clearly says about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See Matthew 6:33, and not murdering. See Exodus 20:13. God is looking for believers who will courageously stand up and be counted to stand for his word and for his babies. Well, what does it mean to stand up for God and stand for his children? Well, it can mean many things. Number one, pray daily for the spirit of boldness for believers so we will courageously follow the Lord, be disciples, and faithfully make disciples. Pray for the ending of abortion in our nation and in our world. Number two, pray for ministries on the front lines of spreading the gospel and standing for life. There's never a time to apologize for or shrink back from standing on the word of God, for following the word of God, or for speaking the word of God. God's word is our guidebook, our instruction manual for all of life. We're not ever to decide that disobedience to God's word for any reason is okay. Why do we see so many persons who say they love God, yet are not involved with the work of spreading the gospel, making disciples, or speaking out against the killing of innocent children in the womb? Sadly, the reasons are varied and numerous. Tragically, too many believers have opted not to walk courageously. In fact, too many are acting like cowards. A bit strong, one might say. Not really. The reality is that many among us who say they love the Lord walk and act like cowards. And the reality is the truth hurts sometimes, but very often it needs to be said because the truth helps us see ourselves for who we are and where we actually stand. And once we see ourselves, if we're not who we should be, we can repent and ask God to help us step up to where we should be. Today, too many pastors walk as cowards when it comes to what and how they're preaching and teaching from the pulpit with regards to many issues. Too many church leaders choose to stay away from issues and topics deemed quote-unquote controversial. Too often, church leaders shy away from challenging believers to live sacrificially. Why? Well, it's easier not to ruffle feathers in the pews if we stay away from quote-unquote controversial issues and if we avoid encouraging believers to sacrificially serve the Lord Jesus. Too often, leaders or church people will say things like, we don't want to offend anyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. Preaching the truth is often offensive. Clearly preaching the Ten Commandments and telling people what's right and what's wrong often can be or is quite offensive. Too many believers don't seem to believe. And too many who say they love the Lord live as cowards. Sometimes a little inconvenience or awkwardness can cause many a believer to shy away from sharing the gospel or giving out a gospel tract in a given setting. We're not to be cowards. We're to be bold, obedient servants of the Lord. For time reasons, we're going to end right there. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, Courageous Servants, Cowards in the Church, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be right back with our phone guest.
From getting through. We do. that you could see it all made new. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love?
The music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Catherine Davis. She's the founder and director of a ministry called the Restoration Project. Catherine, how are you today?
I am well.
That's good.
Very well.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And Catherine, if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself, tell our listeners a bit more about you so they'll know better who Catherine Davis is, and then share about the work and the mission of the Restoration Project.
So I am the founder and president of the Restoration Project, which is a pro-life, pro-family, pro-education organization that educates about the impact of public policy in America. And I have been doing this for a very long time. I had thought that when I first got engaged in the pro-life movement in 1987, that it was going to be a very easy task to sound the alarm amongst Black women about the targeting that was going on by Planned Parenthood, the leading abortion provider in the nation. I had no idea that it would be 2024 and I would still be talking about life, and how to rebuild the family. And that is what the Restoration Project does. I do projects all over the nation to educate, while encouraging the culture to embrace a culture of life rather than the culture that we're in today that accepts the wholesale taking of life of innocence in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Catherine, as we begin, would you take time specifically to pray for listeners to really be able to hear all that the Holy Spirit wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Father, we just come before your throne today asking for authority over the airways, that there would be no confusion and no interference with this discussion as we're going forth to talk about abortion's genocidal and detrimental impact to Black women and their children. Father, we pray for the restoration of the family as we are discussing that our husbands, fathers, the men would embrace their families rather than run from their families in this day and age. Father, that we would have a spirit like Shiphrah and Puah to sustain the growth of our community rather than the destruction of our community. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Catherine. Well, you know, Catherine, just sort of a jumping off point, as you prayed and we shared from Scripture about Shipra and Puah, they lived in a day and time in which, again, we see that people in high places were hostile towards precious babies to the point where Pharaoh literally ordered the killing of children. And that was a long time ago. Yet, sadly, we see we live in a day and time in which today you have leaders that are passionate about the right and the opportunity to murder babies when people choose to. Would you share why, again, you feel like a ministry like the Restoration Project is so critical? Because on the one hand, one might think, well, it's obvious it's wrong to murder. And the Bible's very clear. Why should that be an issue? So can you share why a ministry like the Restoration Project really is critically needed in our culture today?
Well, I think we have to go back for a little mini history lesson of how we got here to this point where there are some who believe that a woman should have the right to terminate, quote unquote, her pregnancy. And it didn't happen by chance. It happened by a deliberate orchestration by groups like Planned Parenthood, the National Organization of Women, NARAL, and other groups who wanted to have the ability to take life. If we go back biblically, what I believe has happened is what is the opposite of what God said in Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi, the last verse, where he said, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land, devoting it to destruction. That's where we are today, but it's not turning the hearts of the men. I think we have to turn the hearts of the women, because what Satan did in answer to that scripture was to turn the hearts of the mothers against their children. So he vested the right to terminate the life of a child in the womb in the mother alone, told men, you don't have a say. You cannot come in and protect your child or have any say-so because it's her body, it's her choice. And that movement place the wedge coming out the gate between a man and his wife or his partner and that baby. That baby lost the protection, lost the ancient boundary of protection, as the Bible calls it, that had been in place, because now only the woman has the right to so-called choose. And I don't think that they were honest in what that choice would mean. I think that they followed the plan that they laid out in a document called the Jaffe Memo that was published in 1969. They began to talk about altering the image of an ideal family size. Back in the day, we used to have 10, 12, 13 children. Today, most families have less than 2 children. And it was by design, because as Exodus told us, when you save the children, communities thrive. And that's what was happening with with Israel. They were growing. They were multiplying. And they were afraid, Pharaoh was afraid that they were going to take over the political power of that day. And so he ordered the destruction of the children. Well, that's where we are today. So how do we turn the heart of the mother back towards her children? I think we have to, as you mentioned earlier, Pastor, we have to start telling the truth about what abortion is and what it does to the woman. It is not a passive, benign kind of procedure. It causes harm to women. In fact, in 2020, Planned Parenthood acknowledged that they cause reproductive harm to women of color. And some of your listeners might say, well, what are you talking about? What is the harm? The harm is prolific to the point that today we have a healthcare crisis in the Black community that is directly attributable to abortion. But many will not talk about it in that vein. Many will, they will try to silence you from telling women the truth about what abortion does. So we have a healthcare crisis, and you ask, in what way? Well, one way is that there is a direct link, as documented by hundreds of studies from around the world, a direct link between abortion and breast cancer. But the powers that be in America today, the pharaohs of today, will not tell Black women that there is that risk. But what we see today is an epidemic of breast cancer among Black women. And the problem with that, besides the cancer, is that the kind of Black cancer that Black women get is the kind that you don't know you have until you're in stage 3 or 4. It's called triple negative breast disease, which all of the cancer organizations will tell you you are likely to die from. Because by the time you discover it, it's too late. And there is no early detection by a mammogram. The only way that it can be early detected is through an MRI, but most women don't know to ask for that procedure early on. They don't ask, and most in the medical profession don't offer it. So we have to begin to tell women the truth. We don't talk about the scar tissue that has resulted in an extreme premature birth rate in the Black community today. Why am I emphasizing the Black community? Because the Black community is and has been targeted by the abortion industry. And if you look in any state, just pick a state where there are Black women, you will see that Black women lead in the number of reported abortions in every state where you would find Black women. And it's because of the targeting. But what's happening is abortion is the only surgical procedure that's done blindly, meaning they're not using an ultrasound or any other device to guide them. What ends up happening is women end up with great scar tissue from the poking and prodding inside their wombs, so that now they can no longer hold their children for 9 months. In the Black community, it's an extreme premature birth rate, meaning that the women will not be able to hold that child long enough for it to reach a state of what they call viability, where it could live outside of their mother's womb. So we have that issue. And the list is long of all of the health ramifications associated directly to abortion. This is not speculation. It is factually documented, although no abortionist and even organizations like the American Cancer Society, Duke Susan G. Komen, the National Institute of Health, none of them will directly say that there are these concerns on the back end of an abortion.
Well, Sister Catherine, can you tell me, like, why would you say these issues really aren't being addressed more so in view of the fact that they're very serious issues that affect the health of so many women, Black and otherwise as well? Why are they not addressed more directly and much more so in our culture?
Because we have a culture that's bent on population control. Historically, let's go back to the 1960s when most of this population control enthusiasm percolated to the top. You had Richard Nixon in the White House, and he was talking about abortion as an instrument of population control. Specifically, he felt like what was going to be aborted were the little black bastards, those his words, not mine. It was recorded in the White House. You had the National Organization of Women that was forming, who decided that they were going to destroy the American family structure by destroying the patriarch. They were going to destroy the patriarch by destroying monogamy. They were going to promote homosexuality, eroticism, prostitution, and promiscuity. That was their organizational statement back in the 1960s to destroy the family.
I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Catherine Davis. She's the founder and president of the Restoration Project. We'll be right back. Music from the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Catherine Davis. She's the founder and president of the Restoration Project, a pro-life ministry doing great work in the kingdom of God. Catherine, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about the work of and mission of the Restoration Project, or if they would like to give financially to help support the work and mission, can you share with them how they can do that?
Absolutely. They can go to therestorationproject.life. Again, that's therestorationproject.life. And they can learn about the work that I am doing. And they can donate at that site as well.
Okay. All right.
I want to go back and finish this notion of how we got to where we are today.
Okay.
There was also a woman by the name of Alice Bailey, who many consider to be the mother of the New Age movement. And she had a 10-point charter to remove Christianity from the culture. And one of the things in her 10-point plan was to reduce the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional family structure. She also talked about getting the government to make all of her points law and getting the church to endorse these changes. And unfortunately, today, we can see that the church has moved, many in the church have moved to a political structure rather than a godly structure. We can see the impact of the destruction of the family, especially in the Black community, where since the 1960s, we've moved from a 75% two-parent-headed household in the Black community to today a 72% female-headed household in our culture. So we have done exactly what Alice Bailey wanted us to do, and we have done it through organizations like the National Organization of Women and Planned Parenthood, who launched their Negro Project in 1939 to control the Black birth rate. So all of these forces came together in destruction of the family, in destruction of life in our culture. And today you have women who will talk about wanting to keep abortion alive because they view it as a right, and they don't look at the overall effect of that so-called right in eliminating an entire population of people from our culture. So today, if we wanted to just maintain the number of every Caucasian, Black, whatever in our culture, every woman of childbearing age would have to have 2.1 children. Today in the Caucasian community, the, fertility rate is 1.8. And in the Black community, it's hovering around 1.6. So we are no longer having enough children to reproduce ourselves. It is impacting our culture in a significant way that very few of us talk about, but I believe it's time to bring that to the forefront.
Well, Catherine, I want to ask, would you take time specifically to pray for the church to be the bold, biblically minded, practical church God would have us to be, in view of the fact that sadly we have too many, including leadership in the church, that will make statements like, well, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose, not seeming to realize what an ungodly thing that is to say and a wrong perspective in view of the fact that God's word clearly says you shall not murder. So the need is for bold, strong leadership that speaks the truth in love, from the pulpit and otherwise, so that people can know what's right. So would you pray for the church in these regards?
Father, we just come before the throne again, Lord, looking at those who believe that they are part of your body, those who say they are part of your body, but they are embracing a lifestyle of politics. They are embracing a death style, rather than what you said in the word to choose life. But Father, we know there's a remnant because you said you always have a remnant, and we call that remnant forth now, Lord. Your body who will stand boldly and say no. Your body who will push back against the wholesale slaughter of infant life in the womb. Your body who will push back against the forces that are targeting women and causing death in women. Father, we pray that you would remove the boundaries that keep women from understanding that they too are dying in the abortion chambers, that this abortion pill is not a benefit, but it is a deadly instrument that is being used to not only take the life of the child in the womb, but also now the lives of the mothers are being threatened, psychologically and physically, as women are now seeing their children in the floor of their bedrooms or in the floor of one of the rooms in their home or in their toilet, and now have to address the fact that they took the life of not a clump of cells, but a child. Father, we are praying, Lord, that you would touch women and men all across this culture in your body to rise up now and take a stand and say this far and no further. Father, we bind every spirit of politics that has infiltrated your body, and we say no, no longer will that spirit prevail, Lord. We ask that you would unleash Holy Spirit in a new way amongst your body to bring us back into right relationship with you, where we can stand before you saying, Father, I did your work and not the work of the enemy. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, Catherine, our time is almost gone. I want to ask if you would just in the remaining time, if you could just touch on this. You know, looking back again, the passage we looked at, Exodus 1 and 2, here we see Shipra, Pua, Jochebed, that is Moses' mother, Miriam, Moses' sister, and Pharaoh's daughter. God used five women to probably save the life of a precious little baby boy named Moses. And we see God chose to introduce the book of Exodus, whereby, and it's in that book that God gives us the law, the Ten Commandments specifically, and he uses Moses to bring them. But we see a powerful man named Pharaoh who thinks it's okay to murder babies. And then we see a precious baby whose life is saved by five courageous women who helps to show the world God's perspective on the life issue as well. Any thoughts that you'd want to share to encourage believers how that, like, again, each of those five women play a pivotal role, and God wants to use all of us to do our part. Any word of encouragement you'd like to share with our listeners about getting involved with Standing for Life?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many ways to get involved. Doing outreaches to our HBCUs to reach into that population with a message of life. We have pregnancy centers all across the nation. I believe there's over 2,500 of them who will walk with women who choose life throughout their pregnancy and beyond, providing resources to them, helping them find jobs, housing, whatever they may need to bring that child to life. But we also have ministry groups who are now going out and ministering to women for healing, groups like Surrender the Secret, Support After Abortion, that will help women get the healing that they need from the abortion decision. And then we have women who have become the Shipra and Puas of our day, going out and telling other women the truth. Women who are like a part of groups like Silent No More, who are willing to share the real life-changing impact that abortion had on their lives in the hopes that other women will not succumb to that. And of course, they can always volunteer as an ambassador to work with the Restoration Project and going out into our culture and sharing the truth about abortion and what abortion is doing in the nation, how the path of destruction that it has heaped upon our culture. So there's many ways that people can get involved, and I would encourage them to reach out to do so.
Amen. Share that website information for the Restoration Project one more time.
TheRestorationProject.life.
All right. And if someone wants to give financially as well as learn more about it, just simply go to your website.
Go to the website, and they can mail a donation, or they can do it right then online using the card of their choice. And I would welcome that support as we are trying to shift the culture back towards life. The Restoration Project is doing a number of things, including putting up billboards across the nation that point to the humanity and the personhood of little babies in the womb. And there's other projects like that. So I would welcome any financial assistance that people would care to give.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Catherine, for being with us today. Again, Catherine Davis, the founder and president of the Restoration Project. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never in your life made the eternally critical, important decision of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a good day to be saved, to fully commit your heart and life to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer every day. Help me to obey you and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some literature and resource material that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us once again. That email, joseph@afr.net. Again, Sister Catherine, thank you again for being with us. Share one more time that website information and how people can get in touch with you.
TheRestorationProject.life, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and keep up the great work as you continue to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.